Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Hello and welcome to the third of four instalments of the FT Money Neptune Emerging Markets Roundtable discussion. I'm Matthew Vincent from the Financial Times, and I'm delighted to be joined by three expert commentators to discuss emerging and developed markets from an investor's point of view. They are Jim O'Neill, Chief Economist of Goldman Sachs.
Hello.
Tim Bond, Head of Global Asset Allocation Strategy at Barclays Capital, joining us down the line.
Hello.
And James Dowie, Chief Economist of Neptune.
Hi, Matthew.
In our first two instalments, we looked at individual countries, and we also looked at correlations between growth in economic terms and growth in terms of equities. Jim, if I can ask you now about practical matters. Mm-hmm. For a private investor seeking to harness the growth that is...
Should never ask economists about practical.
Well, I realise I'm taking a bit of a risk here, but so let's get your initial thoughts on it. Some people think you need to invest, you need to hold assets within the emerging market itself. Others say, no, you don't. You need to be in a global company that could be listed in London, could be listed in the US, that has exposure. Do you have a view on which way to go?
The answer is the price. We actually, past year, have developed two different indices. We call them BRIC Nifty 50s. We have an index of 50 stocks from the BRIC world and an index of 50 stocks from the developed world that are showing the biggest revenue growth to the BRIC world. And we track them all the time to see what the relative price is. So it depends where you are in time. At this particular moment, many of the components of the developed Nifty 50 seem cheap relative to the BRIC world, which shows you that, you know, investing in BRICs right now, not for the first time, it's popular again. So there are periods like that. It's complicated further at the moment, and it's something we touched on in one of the earlier discussions. There's significant differences of valuation within the BRIC markets. Russia is, in my opinion, despite the rally we've had, still very cheap, whereas India actually looks relatively pricey. And so you'd want to base it around that as well. So, but the simple answer is the price.
And James, you mentioned in our first discussion that that you feel that, that Russia is particularly undervalued, given the potential that's there. Do you think that private investors should be looking to go into Russian equity markets, or other ways to do it?
Well, look, I think the practical issue is that a lot of private investors aren't going to want to buy individual stocks; they're going to want to buy funds. If you're going to want to buy a fund that has sufficient expertise in emerging markets to tap into that growth, then buying a UK fund might not offer you that. That you need a manager that has speciality in the area. Now, we think that a diversified approach to this is the correct one. There are a lot of multinational companies in the West that are going to benefit from, you know, from the outperformance and economic growth from the emerging markets. But we really think that access to those markets and themselves, you know, through fund managers who have that expertise, is a very important part of it.
And Tim, if I could just bring you in here, I'm sure you'll probably agree with the valuation points that Jim was making. Do you also share James's view on funds being the correct route?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a private investor can necessarily stock pick in a lot of these markets. I mean, I think the way I would see it is that you're going to there's two reasons why you want to skew your portfolio more to the domestic emerging market sectors and then to the commodity sectors in you know, in the Western markets. And I think it's quite important to recognize that most of these emerging markets have got much more youthful demographics than the kind of OECD. Even China's got pretty good demographics for the next decade, and then they start to, you know, head in the same direction as Europe and the US. So most of these markets, the emerging markets, from a demographic point of view, you've got an increasing size of the population who are equity buyers, you know, both in terms of rising income per capita and, you know, in terms of the shift in age compositions. And historically, those factors, you know, tend to push up valuations in the local markets. And I think the sort of the quite expensive valuation you see in India is kind of illustrative of that. But you've got very different demographics in Europe and the US and Japan, and they're suggestive of, you know, continued slip in valuation. So in other words, equity markets over the next decade underperforming earnings growth a bit. But the other point I think I'd make is that there's a sort of dark side to the emergence of these giant emerging markets. It's increased global economic volatility quite a lot, and it's done it by really changing the speed limit for global growth. And you don't need very much global growth these days to drive commodities up and then starting to impact inflation expectations. And that speed limit shifted a lot. It's dropped in half pretty much compared to where we were in the 80s and 90s. And that makes the policy situation in the West, in Europe and the US, it makes it very difficult for policymakers, because the trade-off between inflation or inflation expectations and unemployment is a lot harder. And that's because of China and all these big emerging markets. The impact that has on raw material prices means that you get very early cycle inflationary pressures. Now, that contributes to economic volatility. And we've seen a big pickup in macroeconomic volatility for the OECD over the last decade. And that's probably going to persist. And that, again, historically, you know, when economic volatility goes up, PE ratios go down, you know, because investors recognize it's a more risky environment. So I think you've got a strong demographic argument here, and you've got a strong sort of macroeconomic risk argument to suggest that equity valuations, you know, are going to drift lower, the sort of equilibrium PEs are going to drift lower in the older markets and probably move a bit higher in the emerging markets. So that does argue for actually having an exposure to the domestic equities in these places.
And just very, very quickly, Jim, how would you get access to your preferred market right now?
Well, I've just spent quite a bit of time, I travel all over the place all the time, but I've just most recently been in Germany. I've been talking to some big multinationals, particularly about their BRICS strategy. And if you look at German export growth, in 12 months' time from today, Germany's exports to China, amazingly, could be nearly as big as German exports to France. So the influence of these places on the developed world, particularly the big exporters, is just quite remarkable, to a degree in which many people in the financial markets and world policymaking don't realise. So occasionally, I think Germany is itself becoming like some kind of sophisticated BRIC place. So it kind of depends, as I said earlier, on the price. But right now, I think, particularly with the euro weak on the back of Greece, it's bizarrely, together with the BRIC thing, it's almost boosting growth even more than otherwise would have been the case. In my silly mind, you could argue that Greece is actually helping the European economy, not actually weakening it.
Certainly. And just finally, James, what would be your preferred route? Let's take your example of Russia. How would you go in?
Well, we have a dedicated Russia fund, and we benefit from the expertise in that fund across our European funds and US funds. So we access it through those various routes.
I thought you'd say that. thank you all very much indeed. And you'll be able to hear all the other instalments from our roundtable debate, together with transcripts of our discussions and more analysis on emerging markets from Neptune on our website at ft.com/money. And you can find details of how you can take part in our special FT Money Neptune Emerging Markets competition for the chance to win £5,000. Details in FT Money with the Weekend FT and on that website, ft.com/money. But until our next instalment, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Jim, Tim, and James.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex.
Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.